Good morning, Lene.
Hey, good morning, Terry, and good morning the rest of the community.
Mm-hmm. He is risen.
Oh, he is risen indeed.
Amen.
Yay.
Amen. Resurrection Sunday. What a privilege to get to do this and to speak to our church on Resurrection Sunday.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, definitely.
It makes all the difference. I read in our prayer group today that Paul Ten Haken, our mayor, put on his Facebook this scripture. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." Matthew 28:5-6. So, Lord, we just thank you that you are the only God that has risen. None of the others did. They're still in the grave, so they weren't gods.
Oh, thank you, God.
Amen.
Yes, thank you, God. When I think about this, I just think about what God gave up,
mm-hmm.
right? His one and only Son.
Mm-hmm.
And just that he was placed on the cross for our sins.
Yeah.
Where we should have been.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus died for our sins.
Yeah.
And we just cannot forget that.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day, every single minute of our life, that Jesus gave up his life and went through what he went through for our sins.
Yes. Yeah. He died as us and gave us his righteousness.
Yes. Yes.
That we can stand before him righteous because of what he did.
And going forward today, let's not forget that he is in us and we are in him.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Let's see if there's anybody watching here.
Yeah, I don't have any come up, but you guys. There you go.
Okay. There we go. Okay, I see Hank Rikers is watching. I got to turn my volume down here. Okay. See, I wish I could be here at the service. Okay, he's got a bad cold and sore throat.
Well, good morning, Hank. Thanks for writing in. And I was just sharing with Terry a few of the passages this week kind of came to my heart. And so I just want to share. And one that actually I feel like I can pray over you, Hank, is Isaiah 41. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God.
Amen.
I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you in my righteous right hand."
Amen.
Hank, I just want to pray over you. Immediate healing.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we just ask that you align Hank from head to toe, that everything is put back in order, and he no longer is dealing with the cold and the sore throat, God. We know your promises, and we know that you can do miracles in big, small, anywhere in between, God. We just give this one to you and just heal Hank. And we pray, Hank, that you can spend this day in rest and relaxing and can just enjoy and just, again, remember that he is risen and he is alive.
Amen, amen, amen. That's something to celebrate right there.
Absolutely.
And then we've got Linda Lilly. And she says, "Oh, happy day." And we just agree with you, Lindy. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed our sins away. I remember as a little girl going to church and they'd sing, "Up from the grave he arose."
Yes.
And that just is a memory that I have. So that is a good day. We just pray for Linda. We just want to speak over you and say, and she's one that often tunes in to our prayer group and to Sunday morning. And we just know, Linda, God sees your hungry heart. You have a hungry heart, and you're one that follows hard after God, and that blesses his heart. And so I pray that you would feel his presence wherever you are today, that you would feel his presence touching you, loving you, and that you would know that he is for you and he is taking care of everything that concerns you.
Yes.
And so we just thank you for your heart and that you reach out to us. We feel like you're part of our congregation, Linda. So we just bless you this Resurrection Sunday.
Yes.
In
yes.
Jesus' name.
Bless you.
Nicole.
Oh. All right. Nicole, see you soon.
Yeah.
I'm actually looking at where you're going to be sitting. So we'll see you soon, Nicole. You are such a brightness to this whole church community, the daycare community. Your gift for baking, oh, talk about a gift that the
yes,
Lord gave you.
Yes,
you make some incredible bread. So we just appreciate that you share that, and that God can, God can supply you with the means to make it. God can supply you with the hands and the energy. We just cannot forget that comes from the Lord.
Yes,
it's not just a guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
He gives us the energy. He gives us the means. He gives us the product that needs to be, you know, that we want to make. He gives us the words.
Yeah.
So we just thank you, God. We thank you for Nicole and her beautiful family.
Mm-hmm.
And we look forward to seeing you in the second row this morning.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And I just want to say to Nicole, she's just part of our women's ministry. She doesn't get to come a lot, but she makes our posters and does our tech stuff, and she makes us look better than we are.
She does a beautiful job.
She does
yes,
a
I
beautiful
forgot about
job.
That too. Yes.
Yep, she does a beautiful
yes.
job. So
she's definitely one of those behind the scenes that God shows all of her gifts to us. So we just thank you. We thank you, God, and we thank you, Nicole, for being available to the Lord to show those gifts that that you have been given.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Debbie, good morning, Debbie. I really have no idea where you're at this point. Do you know Terry?
I don't.
Yeah.
Either in between Arizona and here. I know she's coming here in May. So,
oh, fun. All right. Well,
she's probably still in Arizona.
Okay. So. Well, safe travels for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Debbie, I still haven't gotten to really know you, but I can guarantee that when you enter the building, your smile and your compassion for this church is just incredible. And I praise God that I consider you a very dear friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thank you. And I have no doubt that you pray over all of us every single day.
Amen. Amen. I know she does too. And I just thank you. And I just call you Sister Debbie. And, We just are looking forward to seeing you the next time you come back, and we just pray that this day would just be flooded with divine encounters,
yes.
with a sense of His presence over you, and that you would know how much you're loved and blessed, and surely the goodness and mercy follow God all the days of His life. So surely we say yes. Come back to Sioux Falls soon.
Yes.
Surely.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else? Mine doesn't want to do my comments, but is there anything else? No.
Let's see. Now, Hank, Linda. Not yet.
Okay.
Well, we'll just take this moment to just share about the women's retreat coming up.
Yeah. We should have brought ourselves our little poster.
Yeah, we should have. May 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And we're hoping that just every woman from the gate would be able to come. And it's going to be just an awesome retreat. The speaker sent me a list of prayer points to be praying for that I'm going to give to both Lene and I are on the women's ministry team. And she's got a group of intercessors where she is that are praying for the retreat. And so she wanted our women to be praying. So we're going to be doing that. And it's going to be powerful.
Yeah. And the theme is anointing, giving God our yes.
Yes.
It is going to be so exciting. And let me tell you, I went last year for the first time to Swan Lake. The weather was pristine. It was just so perfect. And I took so many beautiful walks and just heard the Holy Spirit speak to me, work within me, and just that, even the time alone, but yet to be in that facility and worship and hear testimonies.
Yeah.
Let's not forget, that's what's made us today. We talked mm-hmm. about that in prayer this mm-hmm. morning. Testimonies is what makes us. It's what's going to make you.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it's going to help you draw others mm-hmm. to know the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's true. Never.
If God will do it for someone else,
yes,
he'll do it for
yes,
me.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Something else. Let's see. They say it direct line. The testimony means do it again, God.
Mm,
yeah.
Yes.
So.
Oh, that's good.
Yes.
That's really
so
good.
We're believing that. And there's our friend Karen.
Yes.
And we just pray blessings, blessings, blessings upon her and her upcoming trip to see her son.
Oh, yes.
So we just.
Yes. Yeah, can we pray over
yes,
that?
Yes,
yeah.
Let's do.
Let's pray over that. I heard mm-hmm. you guys talking this morning about mm-hmm. her going on a trip, and I guess I didn't put it all together. But, Lord, we just pray over mm-hmm. Karen, most definitely over her travels,
mm-hmm.
the encounters that she's going to have during her travels, because we always know,
mm-hmm.
being in a plane or whether you're going to restaurants or mm-hmm. convenience stores, you're just going to run across people. Give her the discernment to approach those that maybe she just feels drawn to. Lord, I just pray over the relationship of Karen and her son. I just mm-hmm. pray that chains are broken. I pray that the relationship is grown beyond measures. And we know that that's your promise. Things are not even, we're not even going to be able to
yeah.
imagine how things can grow
mm-hmm.
between the mother and son. So we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for her to travel safely. And we just thank you, Karen and Jesus, for bringing her into our lives. She is such an inspiration.
She is.
She is.
She is. When she walks into the room, you know it, don't
she
you?
She's
yes.
so beautiful,
yes.
inside and out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here we've got someone else. Ada Iris Rivera. Do you know this person?
I do not, no.
I don't know this
no.
person either. Ada, I would say Ada
yeah.
Iris. Well, God, we know that you know Ada Iris, and we just say yes. Happy Resurrection Day to you, too. And we pray that wherever you are, that you would sense the presence of God. We pray and that you might be able to find your way to church, and if not, we invite you to just watch it on our mm-hmm. live stream. We just say this next year for you, we are believing it's going to be just a wonderful year. God has plans for you, and we just pray that you would that he would give you a hunger for his word and his presence, and that you would find yourself hearing and being led by him in ways that you never have before. We pray God opens your ears, opens your heart more, even more, even the more. Go for the more.
Yes.
Ada, we say go for the more.
There is always and, more.
Yes.
Always more.
Always more.
Let's not forget that. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen. That's
yeah.
the exciting thing about God. We're never,
I
we
know.
Never know it all. And
I
it
know.
Seems like the mm-hmm. longer I go, it feels like the
yes.
less I know, because
right?
there's so much more in God. So anyway.
Yeah. All right.
Mm-hmm.
We got a couple more minutes.
A couple
know.
More.
Their time is a little different.
Yeah, they're both a little different.
All
well,
right.
Well, it looks like the worship team is starting to
all
come
right.
forth.
Yeah.
So
well, let's pray quick over the worship
like to,
team.
Yeah.
Father,
would you like
we
to
just
pray?
Ask that you open up the heavens in here
mm-hmm.
today. That
yes.
yeah, as we spoke again in the prayer meeting, let us open our hearts. Sing, dance, and worship to you, Jesus. And it is all for you.
Mm-hmm. All for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Good job on the decorations, bro. Good job. Mm-hmm.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Good job, church.
Yeah.
Let's try that again. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Stand to your feet this morning. Let's get ready to make some noise. Friday moved past Saturday. We find ourselves in Resurrection Sunday, and He is alive. If you believe that, give a shout to Him this morning. One, two, one, two, three, four. Day in history, death is beating you. How rescue me? Sing it out, Jesus is alive. Yeah, the empty cross, the empty grave, life eternal. You have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. Come on, He's alive. And no, happy day. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. When I stand in that place, free at last, meeting face to face, I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. Earth and pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. Yes, He is. He's alive. And oh, happy day, happy day. You wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. What happened all over this place? Something happened out here this morning. What is this? Jesus is alive?
Come on. When I search the world, you couldn't fail me. Man's empty praise, treasures of faith. Are never enough. You came along and put me back together. desire is now satisfied right here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing, nothing is better than you. Now we're not afraid. I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you see no more. You still call me friend. That's the God of the mountain.
What?
That's God of the valley.
Yeah.
There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing, nothing is better than you.
Let's sing that again, beloved.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing, absolutely nothing is better than you.
Go ahead, Carrie.
Who's ready to talk about Jesus?
Yeah.
Who's ready to declare about the risen King?
You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who cares.
You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory.
Yeah, I don't think we're done yet. He ain't done yet. So we ain't done yet.
The only one who can.
Born into dancing.
You turn born into dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can.
Babes into gardens.
You turn praise into gardens.
Up your own song of worship to Him today. There's no one like You, no one like You, God. We can praise You in the good times. We can praise You in the hard times too. Because You're always good, You're always good. Because death has been defeated when You were resurrected. So Jesus, we exalt You. You're worthy, oh God. You are King, You are King. You are King, You're my King. I'm going to teach you a new song this morning that Tan and I wrote on our 32nd anniversary a couple of weeks ago about how Jesus is forever my King. All right, men, you really got to sing this out because you learned it at men's camp. We declare Your goodness, God. The mountains be moved, and though the mountains be moved, and though the hills disappear, You stand steady and strong, because Jesus, You are my King, now and forever the King. Yes, You are. Sing it again. Though the mountains, though the mountains be moved, and though the hills disappear, You stand steady and strong. Jesus, You are my King, now and forever the King. Yes, You are God. Across the crown. Across the ground, You rule Your kingdom through a life laid down. Merciful, mighty King. Sing that again. Across the crown, You rule Your kingdom through a life laid down. Oh, mighty King, Jesus, You are mine. mountains be moved.
Though the mountains be moved and though the hills disappear, you stand steady and strong. Jesus, you are my King, now and forever.
Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah.
take time this morning to worship you, God. We take our time this morning and declare your goodness, Lord, your greatness, God, your holiness and worthiness, God. We exalt thee. I'm leaving the list just a minute here. We exalt thee. We exalt thee, O Lord. I was found in you. I was found in you. Before I was lost in Adam, love was crucified. From the world's foundation. So why do I strive to find my way home? Brought your heavenly home to me. To me. I abide. Your strong arms wrapped around me. Holding me here, I'm alive. As your spirit burns within me. Loving me here, lost in your story, that's where I'm found. Nothing can tear me away from you. Nothing can tear me away.
death and resurrection, and you carried me to the arms of Abba. So why should I search anywhere else? Find what I already have in you. In you. I abide in your strong arms wrapped around me, holding me here. I'm alive as your spirit burns within me. Loving me here, lost in your story, that's where I'm found. Nothing can tear me away from you.
God, we just thank you that we're found in your glory today, God. We're found in your glory. We're found in your nearness. We're found in your love. God, your banner over us is love, because he didn't stay in that grave, God, because that stone was rolled away. God, we thank you that there's an empty grave that proves our Jesus is bigger than death. You're bigger than the grave, God. Your love is greater. God, we just thank you this morning for pouring your life out, God, as a sacrifice for humanity. We just say thank you. Thank you for the cross, God. Thank you for the passion. Thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you, God, for the nails. Thank you, God, for the crown. Thank you, God, for the lashings that you took. Thank you for wiping out sin for all eternity, God. We just bless your name, Jesus. It's Jesus, God. We celebrate you, God. We celebrate Jesus in this place. Celebrate Jesus. You're worthy, 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 worthy is your name. We bless you, Jesus. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Come on. We got reason to celebrate, right, Jericho? Come on. Yeah. Oh, God, so good. Welcome to Resurrection Sunday. Welcome to the gate. We are a welcoming family, encountering God. That's part of our mission statement. So we pray that you feel that sense that this morning that you're welcomed and that God is here. He's here. He's everywhere. You could walk into the Lutheran Church, Catholic Church this morning, and Jesus is there. But he's here too, right? This whole place built for worship, built for encounter with God. And so we don't want to just talk about him like he's not in the room. He's here. He's doing things. He's speaking to you. He's touching your body. He's healing you. He's giving you all of us those suddenlies that change your whole life. And we can all probably pinpoint times in our lives that that's happened. And we just say this is a place where that happens too. So we just want to practice here for like 10 minutes going, God, you're here and I hear from you. Right? We're his sheep. His sheep hear his voice. So if you sense maybe even the slightest, even the smallest sense that you're hearing maybe a name or a sickness with that name, go ahead and text it into us. And we're just going to believe it's the Lord. And we're going to pray it back. Pray for whoever needs to be healed. Pray that name back. And just believe that God's going to do some awesome things. And these, so everybody gets to play. Everybody gets to play. These mighty, mighty ones that are like 4 foot and shorter up here, they're going to pray back what you send in. They're going to have some of their own stuff. So, yeah. Yeah.
Nope, that's just a part of our DNA here, is that we believe that we are family. We believe that our little ones have a voice. They get to sit at the big kid table, right? They get to sit with us. Sometimes at Easter, there's a kid table and an adult table. But here at prayer time, we all get to be at the same table before the Lord. So we're going to make a space for that. If any of them get a prophetic word or they hear something, you're going to just see that we're going to pause it and we're going to create space for them. But if you have something that you want prayer for, please text it in, and we would love to cover that as well.
Jarvis told me he's taller than 4 foot. He's 4 foot eight. So 4 foot eight and shorter, you can be up here. Anyway, I'll just kick us off. I felt like I was getting the name Emily this morning, and that I felt like the Lord was saying disjointed or out of place. And so is there an Emily this morning that's got some, maybe your back's just out of whack, or like you've got a shoulder issue? Any Emily's joining us this morning, maybe online? Okay. Come on. Come on. That is so awesome. Okay, let's pray for Emily. You guys want to help me?
Yeah.
Let's just believe that God gave us the name for a reason, that he wants to heal her, just like he said in 1 Corinthians 12, that he'd give us words of knowledge. So we're just going to believe that that's for her. So Jesus. We just lift up Emily.
We lift up Emily.
And this disjointed shoulder.
And her disjointed shoulder.
And we just say today.
Say today.
Right now.
Is the day of healing.
So Emily, be healed.
Emily, be healed.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So I got the name Jacob with the flu. Dear God, I pray for Jacob that his flu will get out and he'll have a good day. He won't have to suffer the flu. God will kick that flu out. He'll tell it, get out of my house. This is my house.
That's right.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Come on, buddy. That's my house.
I had Marcus. Dear Jesus, I pray for Marcus. I pray that you just heal him right now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So Marcus, and then what was the name you got, Jericho? Jacob. All right. So Jesus blessed those two.
Yeah.
All right. Our children had a couple different prayer requests for some people who are going through loss. So let's pray for Tara. She lost her daughter. And let's pray for the Worthley family because they lost their Uncle Randy.
Okay. Yeah, so Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you.
That you're there.
That you're there.
God, you're with Tara.
You're with Tara.
God, you're comforting her.
You're comforting her.
You're just getting her through the moments.
You're getting her through the moments.
We just say, help God.
We say, help God.
And thank you.
And thank you.
That you are near.
That you are near.
And we lift up the Worthleys.
We lift up the Worthleys.
And we just pray.
That
they would sense you.
In this time.
That you just bless their family. And comfort them. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, Novi had a prayer request because her mom is going to be starting a new podcast. So let's just pray for anybody who's got like new business ideas, entrepreneurial hearts, that would just get launched.
Yeah. Come on. Anybody out here that's just like, I got a business idea and I just need a little oomph to get it going. Anybody raise your hand. Can we pray for you guys? Just real, like, we'll just make this like now prayer. So raise your hand if you've got like this business idea and you're like, I just need a little oomph. Kiddos, if you want to, is it okay if the kids pray for you? We're going to send you an army of 4'8" and under. So, all right. So, Jesus.
Thank you.
For ideas. And even now. You're giving more ideas.
Of new businesses.
Of new streams of wealth. We just say favor. We say favor. We say revelation.
Revelation.
We say you're doing this. You're doing this. And this is going to be easy. Because your yoke is easy. And your burden is light. You're doing this. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Come on. Yeah. That's right. The one with the power to roll the stone away can start businesses, right?
Amen.
Come on. All right, what else do we got?
Let's pray for Jeremiah, who's struggling with an addiction of alcohol and smoking. Maybe other addictions too.
Let's just get to the root of it. What's the root? So Jesus.
Jesus.
We lift up Jeremiah.
We lift up Jeremiah.
We say he's loved.
He's accepted.
We say, God, go.
Go to the wounds.
Go to the trauma.
Go to the lie.
Go to the lie.
That he's hearing all the time. And break it.
And heal it.
And bring your truth. Jeremiah is yours. He's called by you. And he is loved. In the mighty name of Jesus. Break off addiction. Amen. Come on.
All right, let's pray for lots of families have sickness in their families. Just flu, influenza, respiratory illness. So let's just pray for those.
Okay, let's pray for it. So
Jesus.
Thank you. For health. We declare. Flu.
Respiratory issues.
Pneumonia. They're imposters. They gotta go. Because as it is in heaven. So it is in our bodies. 100% health.
100% health.
You are.
Resurrection.
And the life. So we declare health. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on.
Let's pray for Patty with metastasizing cancer.
Can you do that one?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Lord, we just pray for Patty. God, we just thank you that you are a God who, even right now, I just see a red stop sign. And so even as we think about metastasizing cancer usually means that it's moving around in other parts of the body, we just say stop in the name of Jesus. And we just declare total and complete healing over Patty's body. And we just ask that she would have a testimony that she can share with the doctors and the physicians around her of a miraculous touch from God on Easter morning.
Yeah.
We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Come on. Put you on the spot. Let's do one more. Yeah.
I wanted to pray for homeless kids who don't have any homes. I pray that they would have shelter, food, and water. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ooh. All right, we're going to end on that one. Is that all right? Or do you have one burning?
Well, I think this is a good one.
Okay, okay.
So,
extra innings. Here we go.
Yeah. So, Jill had just texted in, let's pray for prayers for true identity. Yeah. This day has been honored as a transgender affirmation day, but let's just declare true identity over the bride of Christ and over the identity of our culture.
Come on, let's do this. So Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For our true identity.
For our true identity.
We break confusion.
We break confusion.
We break lies.
We break lies.
We thank you for the truth.
We thank you for the truth.
About who you say.
About who you say.
We are.
We are.
Like you told Jesus.
Like you told Jesus.
This is my beloved son.
This is my beloved son.
In whom I'm well pleased.
In whom I am well pleased.
So we thank you for that over our lives.
We thank you for that over our lives.
That the men
and boys
are your beloved sons.
Are your beloved sons.
And that the women
and girls
are your beloved daughters.
Are your beloved daughters.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Come on. All right, we're going to transition here a little bit into our time of offering. And if you want to keep your kiddos with you this morning, do it. But if you want, we have areas for all babies to 11-year-olds this morning. So we have a nursery, which is second to last room down this first hallway on the right. All 3 and 4-year-olds are the first room down this first hallway to the right. And then all the 5 to 11-year-olds are going to be in the gym. And the gym is down the second hallway. See the big doors. So. Yeah.
Yeah, and our youth students are actually going to stay in the sanctuary with their families today. So no youth group this morning. We'll resume that next Sunday.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys. We want to invite you as a part of our worship today to participate in both giving and receiving today. If you would like to give financially this morning, you'll see some ways that you can partner with us in giving on the screen. If you do that electronically, for those of you that like to give physically in the what we call planters up front, because we look at this as sowing seeds. And so we invite you to bring your checks or your cash forward and plant them in these planters. You can make your checks out to Church at the Gate, and we have envelopes for cash giving for you for that to be tax deductible for you as well. But we want to invite everyone to come, and how we do that here is we come down the center aisle. Whether you're giving electronically by cash, check, or not giving at all, we want to invite you to come down the center aisle, and then we'll divide off, and as you pass these planters, we'll see that we have an opportunity for you to receive communion. Now, no one is serving communion this morning except Jesus. He'll be serving it to you today. So we just invite you to take the elements as you pass through, and then either alone by yourself, or sometimes people like to do it in groups together, that as we play quietly in the background, then we're just going to encourage you to go ahead and receive communion during this time as well. What a great day to receive communion on the other side of the empty grave. Come on. So when the scripture says that, he says, as often as we do this, we do it remembering him. It's not just remembering his sacrifice. Absolutely, we do that. But this is actually remembering and bringing Jesus into our minds in this moment, for he's very, very present in this moment. And we expect that as we receive these elements, that we are receive what he paid for us to receive. Yeah. Do you know it honors Jesus when you allow him to serve you?
Yeah.
Somebody preached that, I think, last week. It honors Jesus when you allow him to serve you. And he loves to do that. And this morning, he would love to serve you communion. And with that, he wants to serve you healing. He wants to serve you deliverance. He wants to serve freedom to you, salvation to you. So as you receive the bread that he broke that night, he broke it. He said, this is my body, which is given for you. As often as you do this, do it in remembering me. And then he lifted up the cup and he said, this is the cup of the New Testament, the new covenant that is my shed blood. And as often as you drink it remembering me. His body was wounded so ours could be healed. His blood, Hebrews says, speaks a better word over us, and we're going to agree with that word as we receive this morning. So I invite you to stand today to bring your offerings to the Lord and to receive communion. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come on this Resurrection Sunday to both give and to receive. And we come in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, go ahead and come forward and let's enjoy his presence this morning.
our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise.
There is you and only you. You are a firm foundation. You are light in the darkness.
Yes.
Thank you for who you are. Thank you for being in our hearts.
Yes.
Thank you that you are slow to anger. I pray over this message. Message that you have speak through Brent. We thank you for Pastor Brent and the message you will be giving. We pray for open ears and open hearts. Row by row, seat by seat. We thank you for your working, good, good Father. We thank you for your working, promise keeper. It is all in Jesus' name. The beloved says, amen.
Come on, give him a shout. Might as well shout, he's alive, right?
He's alive.
It's not Friday anymore. It's not Saturday anymore.
That's right.
Some people call yesterday Silent Saturday. Did you know that? The day in between. We were talking about that yesterday. Anybody been in a day in between before? In between what you thought was going to happen and it didn't look like it happened, and just before it happened and you're about to give up on it happening and then suddenly it happened? Come on. God is so good. I love this day so much for so many reasons. How about you guys? I love this day, of course, first of all and foremost, because this is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. So I'm a little bit excited about that this morning. I don't know about you guys. I think that's something to get excited about, that he rose from the dead. How about that 5 years ago this morning was my first Sunday as a senior pastor here. Tell you what, that's exciting for me. I can't believe it's been 5 years. How can that be that it's been 5 years ago today? That's pretty awesome, huh? And so now this church this year is turning 30. Can you believe that? In August, we'll turn 30 years old. And 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. Chris, what's the percentage on that? I don't work numbers. So the percentage of time that I've gotten to be here of the 30 years now. Somebody work the math on that. Chris, what did you say? He's getting his phone out. He's working the math on it to find out. What is it? 16% of the time I've been with you guys now. How about that? How many of you have been here 100% of the time? There's some of them in the back here that have been here 100%. Ah, come on. There's our 100%ers. I was going to say Virgil and Barb, but I got in trouble for calling him Virgil the other day. He said, Snowman! So Snowman and Barb and, of course, the Eklunds as well. And we're blessed in this house, aren't we, to have such solid, awesome, faithful pillars that have been faithful for all these years. And we're so excited today because Jesus rose, and we're celebrating that today. And we want to welcome you. You may be new to the house, and you haven't taken or had the opportunity yet to do this little task that I'm going to give you this morning. Underneath the seats in front of you, you'll notice that there's some welcome home cards inside of the Bibles. It's been a couple weeks. I'm getting rusty. You'll notice under the seats in front of you, there's some Bibles, and inside those Bibles, there's a welcome home card. Take one of those cards and fill it out. Tell us more about yourself. And at the end of service, in the beautiful lit up area in the back, that's our bookstore. We would invite you to go back there and turn in your card, and they'll give you a free gift as our way of saying thanks for hanging out with us. We're really glad to have you on Resurrection Sunday today. Welcome, welcome. Also, online family, we're always glad to have you with us. We want you to know that we're the same Jesus who's moving here is moving where you are. Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's welcome our online family. Welcome our newcomers that are here. I wasn't sure if you were saying yay or you were saying get going, Pastor, because I've got a roast in the oven. I'm not sure, but it's Easter Sunday. I'm not going to keep you a long time today, but we do want to take time to celebrate, and there are several things I do want to let you know about. First of all, you can check out the QR code that's on the screen, and also on the seats in front of you, you can scan that anytime, and you'll get more information about the gate, who we are, and some of our upcoming events. One of those events that I would like to let you know about, if you've never been water baptized, on April the 28th, we are going to have a water baptism. It would normally have been today, 5th Sunday, but since it was Resurrection Sunday, we decided to put that off 1 month. Someone gives their heart to the Lord today, we would love to baptize. I shouldn't say if. When someone gives your heart to the Lord today, we would love to have the opportunity to baptize you on April the 28th. You can use our app to sign up, or you can sign up in the foyer on a sign-up sheet. We would love to baptize you. And the way that we do that here at the gate is not only do I do water baptisms, but sometimes we have mom and dads do water baptisms. And we believe that it was not meant for just pastors to baptize people, but everybody gets to do the work of the kingdom. So we would like to invite you, though, to be water baptized. We would love to do that on April the 28th. And then I want to mention that the men's retreat is over. So that means it's time to start talking about ladies' retreat. They were ready for me to start talking about this before men's retreat, right? So May the 3rd through the 5th, our ladies are going to be at Swan Lake, the same place that we were. And it's the same thing I said before when I said, you know, you need to kick your guy out of the house. Listen, kick your wife out of the house for the weekend. Tell her I'll take care of the kids. I'll take care of whatever needs to happen. I got it covered, which you should already be doing anyways. But let's just say, especially over this weekend, that you're going to make time for your wife to be able to be at retreat. Or if you're single, we want to encourage you. Everybody's welcome. We had several teenagers with us at men's retreat this last year. We would love to see that happen with our ladies as well. Well, our WMD, our women's ministry director, is on the front row right here, Miss Terry Nyberg. Yeah. And she would love to talk to you and give you more information about ladies' retreat. It's going to be awesome. Get signed up right away. Then I want to jump ahead a little bit so you can make sure you have this in your calendar. May the 17th through the 19th is Pentecost weekend. That's always a big deal around here. And so it will be again. We're going to be doing 50 hours of praying in the Spirit together. We do that 50 straight hours that we spend time in prayer, and we'll invite you to be a part of that. But also, we're super excited because our good friend Chris Burns is going to be with us this year again, and so we're excited to welcome Chris. It's going to be an awesome time. Get it on your calendar. It's going to be an amazing weekend. And also, I've been asked to announce and let you know that we have some new gate swag. And so we've got some right here, right now. How many of you know what our theme is? I just dropped it, right? Our theme this year is right here, right now, and so we have some t-shirts and sweatshirts and some clothing that you can purchase with a couple of different designs of right here, right now on them. And so we want to encourage you, after service this morning outside in the foyer, you can go ahead and pre-order your clothing, and they have to do it before when?
The 14th.
Before.
The only way you get it is by pre-ordering. So we want to encourage you to pre-order, and it'll be available in the foyer, and you can get your right here, right now clothing, so we can let the world know that our God is right here and right now. And so that's what we're going to do. And I want to a couple of things this morning before I get started. I want to thank Pastor Quincy for an amazing word last Sunday. Thank you so much. My brother right there. Azaria, good to have you with us this morning too. And so for those of you who don't know, Azaria is my niece. She calls me Uncle Brent. This is Quincy's daughter, and we love having them with us. They're part of the house. Yeah. Quincy is one of our overseers, but I knew, and most of you know if you were here last week, I got a call that my Uncle Donald had passed away. And my Uncle Donald is like a, he is like a second father to me, or he was like a second father. I say he's very much alive still. And so we made a whirlwind trip where I did the service for him this last week, and we were just gone for a couple of days. It was really good to be with family. It is amazing, isn't it, the presence of God in those moments? I mean, the real presence of God that we talk about, that we actually experience in those moments. It was great to be with family and to experience His presence, and we could really tell that you guys were praying for us. So I want to say thank you to you for praying. I want to say thank you to our team, because it's like we're not even gone because we have such a great team here that serves. And I knew that I could call, I mean, I was pretty sure, even though he was on the west side of the state, I could call one of my best friends and he would be in the pulpit that Sunday morning. And he was, but he was not only here, but he brought it last Sunday morning as well. So thank you for doing that, Quincy. Thank you, team. Awesome. Yeah. And I also want to say that, and I wish they were, actually they are still in here. I want to say thank you to our youth ministry, Youth at the Gate, because Friday night was so powerful. Good Friday service. Yeah, let's tell them thank you. Yeah. Good Friday was so powerful. To come back from the week that, you know, we have just gone through, and we were actually able Thursday night to be with Sioux Falls Outpouring and do Monday, Thursday and have an opportunity to receive communion. But then Friday night to come in this sanctuary, they totally transformed it, and they set up stations. If you weren't here, they set up stations where you could encounter Jesus and what He did for us 2,000 years ago. So many creative ways. One of them was a sand station where you could write in the sand what you needed to be forgiven of, and then just run your finger through the sand and wipe it away. It was such a powerful interactive encounter. And the other thing I loved about it is how somber and quiet it was, which normally we're not, which is cool. I like that about us. I am a charismatic, and we charismatics are a noisy bunch, and I do not know what we're going to do. The book of Revelation says there's 30 minutes of silence in heaven. I do not know what's going to happen in that moment for all of us, to the Lord to have like ushers probably tapping us. Nope. Don't pray in tongues right now. Quiet. Quiet means quiet. So it was, you know how it is really powerful. Sometimes to just sit in silence and contemplate what Jesus has done. And sometimes as charismatics, we lose that. And I think it's valuable to take time and just be quiet and remember what Jesus did. So I just want to thank our youth for doing a fantastic job, a superb job of providing us that opportunity on Friday. This is a great place. This is such a great place. And that doesn't mean there aren't other great places. We're only part of the body of Christ in this city and in this region. But you know what? I love this place. And I love you people. And I love what Jesus is doing here. He's doing good things in the gate. Amen? Well, this morning, I am supposed to hit a home run. That's what they tell you. But instead, I just want to talk for a little while about the one who did hit the home run. And draw our attention to Jesus today. I have preached now 26 resurrection sermons in my life as a pastor. So you can go back over this story 11,000 different ways, trying to look at how to share the beauty of the resurrection each year. And every single year, it's amazing to go back and look and see something fresh and something new that is spoken to us through the resurrection story. And it may seem like, as we begin this morning, he picked the wrong passage. Somebody tell him he's in the wrong part of the Bible for Resurrection Sunday. But I promise you, by the time we're done, you'll realize why I picked it. So, John chapter 11, there's an interesting story in Jesus' ministry where I love this about Jesus, that he's not only fully God, but he's also fully man. And he had friends. You know, we need friends. I am so thankful for friends. The Lumleys called us yesterday. It was last minute. They said, hey, we're going to do a last minute Easter dinner at our house. You want to come over? And so we went over and we hung out with the Lumleys and we laughed and laughed and had such a great time. I love them. I love their kids. I love that it's three generations living in one house. And when we were going home last night, Tana and I were just talking about, you know, it is so good to have friends in Sioux Falls. I love that. We have friends. And you have friends. Jesus had friends. Now, he had all kinds of people that loved his ministry, people that loved what he did, but he had a few people that were really close friends of his. And some of those people lived in a little town called Bethany that wasn't very far from Jerusalem. And those people, you know what their names were, some of you guys? Yep, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And as you read the Gospels, you'll find times that he just went and hung out there. That's just where he liked to go hang. He liked to go be with them because they were his friends. And there's a particular story that we run across in the Gospels where we find out that Lazarus had become extremely sick and eventually he had passed away. And you know the story. That's what we're going to be picking up in the point of the story in verse 17 where Jesus shows up on the scene. And it said, when Jesus came, he found that he, Lazarus, had already been in the tomb 4 days. So it's one thing to think about raising the dead. Like, that would be an amazing thing. I haven't had the experience of raising the dead. But I have friends who've actually experienced that in their life. Well, one of them is an overseer of the house. David Wagner has an incredible story about raising the dead. And he practiced and practiced and practiced. He would go to funerals. Do you know this story about David Wagner? He would go to funerals and he had one suit. And he would put on his suit and he would go to the funeral home and he would walk up past the casket and place his hand and just quietly command them to come to life. And nothing would happen and he would walk on. Until one day the funeral director said, we don't know who you are, but you keep showing up at every single funeral and that's not okay. You're going to need to stop doing that. So then he had to figure out, where can I practice now? And so he said, oh, I've got a friend at a hospital that works at a hospital. I'll see if he can get me in the morgue. And so he went to his friend and he said, hey, I need you to get me in the morgue. And his friend said, I'm not going to do that. That's like illegal. He said, come on, I won't hurt anybody. I won't do anything. You know, please. So his friend said, if you get caught, I didn't do it. And so he started going to the hospital. He would go in the morgue and he would practice and practice and practice. And he would command the dead to be raised and nothing would happen. And finally, one day he did get caught and he literally got kicked out of the hospital. He's been told, you cannot come back unless your wife's having a baby. You cannot come back to this hospital. But he practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced until one day he was in Africa and he was ministering with Heidi Baker. Some of you know who Heidi Baker is. And so he's ministering with Heidi Baker and he's preaching and all of a sudden a lady walks up in front of him and she throws her dead son on the stage right in front of him who she'd been carrying that had been dead for 2 or 3 days. I can't remember the story if it's 2 days or 3 days that he had died on the way and she carried him the rest of the way and laid him right at David Wagner's feet. And he said, I don't know how to explain what happened except all the practicing that I'd done moved into that moment. And he commanded life into that little boy. That little boy sneezed like 6 or 7 times, got up, and by the end of service was playing soccer behind the stadium. I mean, come on. Pretty awesome story, huh? See, I like to tell David's stories because they're better than mine. Well, here Jesus is, and this guy's been dead, Lazarus has been dead, for 4 days. In fact, part of the story, when he's going to command him to come back to life, Martha says, surely by now he stinketh. Tana said that yesterday. No, she didn't say that. So let's look at verse 17. He came, he found him. He'd been dead in the tomb for 4 days. You can write this in your notes. The resurrection is right here, right now, for those past the point of the miracle. That's what I want to tell you this morning, first of all. We have a right here, right now God, and the resurrection is right here, right now, for those of you that are past the point of the miracle. If you jump back in the story to verses 5 through 6, it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he got there as quickly as he could. Doesn't say that, does it? He stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Isn't that an interesting passage? Notice what it says first, though. He loved them so much that when he heard Lazarus was sick, you know, you would think that you hear someone sick, immediately, what are you going to do? You're going to go to that sick person, right? You're going to get there as quickly as you can. But see, Jesus was never moved by the moment. He was never moved by the urgent. Jesus was moved by his Father. He loved them so much that instead of just being moved by his human emotion in that moment, he loved them enough to go to his Father and find out what his Father wanted him to do. And his Father loved them just as much as Jesus did, right? He's the perfect representation of his Father. And so he decides, with the leadership of his Father, he's just going to stay where he is a couple more days. And that leads to what we read earlier. By the time he gets there, Lazarus is dead for 4 days. And it looks like, where are you at, God? Have you ever had that conversation with God before? I bet I'm not the only one who's had that conversation. Even though we know God's everywhere all the time, that feeling of, where are you at, God? What is going on? In your notes, you can write, sometimes what looks like a delay is actually Jesus setting you up for a bigger resurrection miracle. Something bigger that he wants to do in your life than you could have imagined. Now, it would have been awesome for Jesus to just come and heal Lazarus, which he could have done. He could have went right over there before he died and made sure that he didn't die at all. But instead, he sets them up for an even bigger miracle. I'm telling you, you may not see it right now, but there are some God setups that are going on in your life at this very moment. Some God setups for what looks like a delay when he's saying, I'm going to make this a bigger miracle than you could have imagined. In your notes, you can write this, that marriage you thought was completely dead is being resurrected. I declare that over you. I just felt like making a few declarations this morning. I declare that over some marriages that look like they're at the place of no return, that look like they've been dead for 4 days, 4 months, or 4 years. That Jesus said, it may look like Friday, but Sunday's coming. It may look like the end, but that marriage you think is over, I'm working a bigger miracle, and it'll be an even bigger testimony on the other side of it than you're walking in right now. In your notes, for those of you that have already gone through a divorce, the divorce you thought was a sunset is really a sunrise. God is turning it around for you. It looks like it's all over. The dreams are dead. And hey, it is important to grieve. Go ahead and grieve the loss of the dream, the loss of the marriage, the loss of what you thought was going to be. But know that your God is bigger than that. Your God loves you, and your God can turn it around for your good and for their good as well. In your notes, that dream you thought was dead is being resurrected. And will have the final word over any deadly diagnosis over your life. Come on, some of you have got some dreams that haven't been fulfilled yet, and yet you have a diagnosis or a prognosis concerning your physical body, and you're thinking, how can I walk out that dream? But it's that very dream that's prophesying over you right now. That dream itself is prophesying your miracle. And maybe somebody online with us or somebody in this room has received a diagnosis that your life is going to end soon. And you know, doctors sometimes put dates on when your final day is going to be and how much time you have left. But I am telling you this morning, I'm believing with you that that dream that you have on the inside is declaring over you that you will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. That his dream is prophesying over you. I speak it over you this morning. And what about in your notes that loved one who died believing for life? We've all had that happen, right? Someone that we prayed for, or they were praying, and we just knew that they were gonna make it, and then they didn't make it. And then we've got all kinds of reasons. We try to figure it out, and we don't know who to blame or where to point the finger. We pointed at ourselves, and we pointed at God, and some people even pointed at the person. Say, it's somebody's fault. You know, there's somebody. Who's to blame? The disciples were like that with the blind man in John, right? Like, who's to blame? Him or his parents? Who did the bad thing? What's the reason that this happens? He said, look, this is an opportunity for the glory of God to be revealed. And that person who died believing, yeah, sometimes we feel like they died too young. And I would even say sometimes people do die too young. But even though they're dead, yet they live, because if they are in Christ, they are with Him right now in heaven. And even when it looks like you lose, you win. Even when it looks like you lose, you win. Oh, God is so good. Why? In your notes, because the resurrection is right here, right now. You want to say that with me? The resurrection is right here, right now. All right, let's look at verse 18 through 25. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 15 stadia. That's a little less than 2 miles away. And many of the Jews who had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. So then Martha, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. Interesting passage, isn't it? Martha's always the doer. She's going to fix things. She's going to get things taken care of. But Mary, something's going on with Mary. She's so hurt with Jesus that she doesn't even go out and meet him. Verse 21, Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here. Who talks to Jesus like this? I actually love Martha. I actually love, you talk about a level of friendship that she has with Jesus. I mean, this is almost like his mom saying, turn water into wine, you know, do something, Jesus. She's like, look, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, somebody say, even now. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise from the dead. Oh, he's giving her a prophetic word right there, but she doesn't get it. She busts out her eschatology on him. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. Hallelujah. He busts out her eschatology. Eschatologist means the end times. Here's how things are going to end. I know he's going to rise again on the last day. Verse 25, Jesus said to her, listen to his eschatology. I am the resurrection and the life. I just want to say that Jesus is my eschatology too. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even if he dies. He will still live. So the resurrection is not only here and now, but in your notes, the resurrection is him right now. The resurrection is a person. Not just an event that happened, but Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life right now. In your notes, let's talk about this a little bit. So our past born-again experience is rooted in Jesus and his resurrection. So why do you say our past born-again experience? What are you talking about, Brent? I want to look at this a little bit this morning, the idea of how the resurrection is connected to what Jesus called being born again. John chapter 3, verse 3, this is the famous Nick at Night story, where Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. Because as a Pharisee, he's afraid. I know it was a hidden joke, like an Easter egg right in there for you guys. So here Nicodemus is in the middle of the night coming to Jesus because as a Pharisee, he's probably, you know, afraid to. He's not just a Pharisee. He's part of the Sanhedrin. I mean, this guy's a major leader in Israel. So he doesn't know yet whether he really wants to be seen with Jesus. So he comes at night and he comes to visit Jesus and talk to him about how we know you're from God. There's something that begins to happen in Nicodemus that actually we see him at the end of the story too. You know that? Nicodemus is at the end of this story. Something happens in his heart to turn his heart towards Jesus. But this is his first encounter with Jesus that we read about. And so he's telling him, we know that you come from God. You do all these signs. You do all these miracles. And then verse 3, Jesus responded and said to him, which I always think it's funny when Jesus says truly, truly. I mean, does he really need to say truly, truly? But he says this to capture his attention and to tell him, this is very important what I'm about to tell you, Nicodemus. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So this phrase, born again, I mean, I grew up hearing this, and some of you that have been in church have heard this for years. In fact, it used to be that you'd go up to someone to tell them about Jesus. You would say, I need to know, are you born again? And if the person had been raised around church, then they would know how to respond to that. But if they hadn't, they were like, what in the world are you talking about? Born again. And that's what Nicodemus does too in the story. He's like, I don't know what you're trying to say. Born again? I have no idea what you're talking about. So when Jesus speaks, this is what Dr. Craig Keener says. When Jesus speaks literally of being born, again, he's speaking of being born from above. That's actually the literal translation of born again. Born from above, which means from God. So when he says you need to be born again, he means from God. Above was a Jewish circumlocution or a roundabout expression for God. So this was Jesus saying to Nicodemus, in order for you to see the kingdom of God, you're going to have to be born from above, or you're going to have to be born from God. So my question this morning, and I think it's an important question, is where do we locate that event on a timeline of our life? I was 6 years old when I first went down at an altar. My dad was preaching. I have no idea what he preached on that night, but I know my heart was tugged on by God to respond. And I didn't even understand fully what I was responding to, but I remember weeping and crying at an altar at 6 years old and surrendering my heart to Jesus. Now, there would be multiple times after that I would resurrender, but that was that first moment that I had this encounter with God that I remember in my mind, that I can say, hey, I can point to a time that I could say that I said yes to Jesus. And so I might tend to think that I would locate my born-again experience at that point when I was a six-year-old boy. Okay, I can point to that exact time, that exact church. I know where that church is in Clovis, New Mexico, where I gave my heart to the Lord. But actually, what I want to share with you this morning is what the apostles taught, is that our born-again experience is located in something such so much more firm than how well we prayed that first prayer we prayed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So the actual way that we are born again, according to Peter, one of the original 12, right? The way that we are born again, the way God accomplished this, is through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So that when Jesus came out of the grave, we came out of the grave and were included with Him. We sang about it this morning. You included me in your death and resurrection. We were included in the first Adam, right? When the first Adam sinned, this is what we believe as Bible-believing people, that when the first Adam sinned, he was a representative man. And within that first Adam is included how much of the human race? All of the human race is included in that first Adam. But Jesus is called in Scripture not just the second Adam. In other places, He's called the last Adam. And in the last Adam, now there's a lot of debate about this one. I know there is. I know there's a lot of debate. And you're a powerful person. So please search the Scriptures to see. I was going to say not what the apostles, I don't consider myself an apostle, but what this little preacher or big preacher says is true. Search the Scriptures to see if it's true. If everybody was included in the first Adam, how many people? I'm just going to ask it. I'm not going to ask you to answer it.
How many people are included in that? Well, in the last Adam. When he makes that decision to go to the cross, Peter says that when he rose from the dead, that God causes us to be born again. In fact, 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, because of him, you are in Christ Jesus. See, that's one of my favorite. I love that passage. Because of him, you are in Christ Jesus. I couldn't have crawled my way into this relationship. I couldn't have prayed my way into this relationship. And listen to me, believers, I couldn't have repented good enough to get into this relationship. I have to be brought into this relationship. It takes God to know God. It takes God to know God. It takes God to bring me into God. It takes God becoming man to actually bring me. This is the beautiful thing about Jesus, is that he is the only God who we've ever heard of that actually became one of us. And becoming one of us, that he is forever. Did you know Jesus is forever man? He's not only forever God, he is forever now at the right hand of the Father, seated as a man. There is a man on the inside of the Trinity, and because of him coming into that, back into that relationship with the Father, inside that place, seated with him in heavenly places, with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that was never broken, but when he as a man then ascends, and he not only is resurrected, but he ascends, and he sits next to the Father. When he does that, he doesn't just do that as God. He does that as mankind. And he seats us with him in heavenly places. Colossians 3:1, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. You can write this in your notes. When he rose, we rose to a new life. When he rose, we rose to a new life. So you could tell the person next to you, I love this to do this on Resurrection Sunday. Happy birthday. Tell them happy birthday. This is your spiritual birthday. I was 6 when I surrendered my heart to the Lord, but I locate my birthday on the resurrection of Jesus. Paul did this. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, right? I locate my born again experience, not just in an experience, but in a person. In Jesus himself. Scripture teaches in your notes that we are born anew and we're perpetually brand new. Both and. We're born anew and we are always new. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The Greek word is kainos. It means that you are a different kind. It would be like this. You have been driving around in a Volkswagen, but when you get a kainos, when you become kainos, you need a new form of transportation. It's not like the word neos, which would mean you would get the latest Volkswagen. No, kainos is a different Greek word. That means you used to drive around in a Volkswagen, now you're flying in the USS Enterprise. That's the difference, right? I mean, you're brand new, you're completely different, you're fully and perpetually new, says 2 Corinthians 5:17. I love what John Crowder says on this. He says, contrary to popular opinion, the gospel is not a second chance message. I botched my life, but God forgave me and gave me a new start. He didn't just give you a new start at the same ordinary human self. That is not really good news. If I botched it the first time, what is to prevent me from botching it again? Jesus didn't just forgive you and clean the slate and give you another chance to perform better. Instead, he transformed the very substance of what you were. That's being brand new in Jesus Christ. In your notes, our born-again experience is rooted in Jesus and his resurrection. I also want to say this with that. Our belief and confession do not make this true, but will impact our personal experience of this truth. Very important. The first Adam did not ask our permission. We just got included. The second Adam didn't ask for our vote. He included us, but what he did do was give us an opportunity to decide if we wanted to say yes to his yes or not. Read the prodigal son, right? You can run away if you want and believe a lie. The prodigal son believed a lie.
He believed he was not who his father knew he was and who he had been born to be. His father knew who that son was, and there's never a point in the story he wasn't a son. But for all practical purposes, he lived a life that was not like a son. He didn't know the love of his father. And what about the older brother? The older brother, the religious brother, who when the young brother came back and was restored to relationship with his father, that the older brother got mad about it and refused to go into the party. What did the father do? You know what? Did you know it was the older brother's job in that culture to actually be the one overseeing the party? He was supposed to assist his father oversee the party. Nope, he didn't do that. He was outside sulking. He was so mad at his dad. He told his dad off. But what did his dad do? His dad came out to get him. And he said, come on. Come on, son. All that I have is yours, right? And the story ends at an interesting place. It ends with the older brother outside the party. The guy that was a sinful, messed up wreck that made all the bad choices, he ends up going to the party because he already knows he needs help, right? But the guy who thinks he has his whole act together, the religious guy, he's the one who ends up outside the party. So the father says, you're welcome, join the party. But if you want to stay outside the party, listen, here's the deal. You can live your whole life and actually spend eternity outside the party if you want to. But you've been included in the party if you just say yes. Actually, you've been included as far as God's concerned, but your yes will have a huge impact on you. Actually, your yes will only have a huge impact on you. It'll have a huge impact on everybody around you. Because it's not just about going to hell someday when we die. I grew up, that was the only message that it was about. Either going to heaven or going to hell. What about all those years in between right now before then? Where God wants us to know heaven on earth. And we could choose to have hell on earth if we want to. We could say no and believe the lie and say no to the inclusion that we have in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And we could do that all throughout this life and have hell right here, right now. I'm telling you, God doesn't want that for us. Why would we choose that when he said, I chose you? I chose you. You are a part of the elect, my friend. And how do you know that? I'm getting into myself in a bunch of stuff this morning. You know who the elect is? Jesus himself. Every person, nobody could have done it but Jesus. The whole human race is narrowed down to one, to Jesus. And he says, as far as he's concerned, you're included. Nobody's left out. He loves you. He has included you. And he invites you to say yes to him today. We're free to say no to our inclusion to his life, death, burial, resurrection. But why would we, right? Why would I say no to the God who is saying yes to me? Woo! Amen. So our past born-again experience is rooted in Jesus and what he did for us. In fact, let me go further with this, even further, just a little bit more. Let me push on it a little bit more. Even my yes is a gift from him. I wouldn't even have it in me to say yes, except he's been working in my life to say yes to him. And let me also say this. It's not just about me saying yes when I was six, but it's about me saying yes all day long, every day. Saying yes to Jesus and his inclusion not only of me, but of everyone I will meet. Because if I believe that to be true about everybody I meet, how many know I'm going to treat people differently? If I believe that Jesus wants everyone on the inside, then I'm not going to treat people just as outsiders. I'm going to begin to see them, as Paul said, I know no man after the flesh. I will know no man after the flesh. But I will say yes. I want to. I'm not saying I live there, guys, but I want to. I want to live in a place where I say yes all day long, every single day to Jesus. So my past is covered. But what about my future? In your notes, our future hope is rooted in Jesus and his resurrection. This is especially meaningful to me today. 1 Thessalonians 4:15 through 18, this passage, of course, was one of the passages from my uncle's funeral that we recently had this week.
said, and then this, I love this out of the message. We can tell you with complete confidence, we have the master's word on it, that when the master comes again to get us, those of us who are still alive will not get a jump on the dead and leave them behind. In actual effect, they'll be ahead of us. The master himself will give the command, archangel thunder, God's trumpet blast. He'll come down from heaven and the dead in Christ will rise first and they'll go first. Then the rest of us who are still alive at the time will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the master. Oh, we'll be walking on air, maybe even walking on sunshine. And then there will be one huge family reunion with the master. So reassure one another with these words. In your notes, the resurrection is the end of death as the end. That's good news. If you've got a family member who knew the Lord, who said yes to his yes, you can be confident that they are spending their eternity with him and you will be joined together with them, right? And then lastly, victorious resurrected Jesus is our resurrection right here, right now. Not just my past, not just my future, but he's got me right here. And right now, look at 1 John 4:7. All that Jesus now is, so are we in this world. Don't you love that passage? All that Jesus now is. It doesn't say, as he was. That would have been cool enough for me. As he was walking through, mostly through Galilee, doing all those miracles. As he was. No, it says, as he is right now. As he is victorious Jesus at the right hand of the Father right now, as he is, so are we in this world. God's word translation. While we are in this world, we are exactly like him. Woo! Jesus, break through my brain. Break through my brain, God. Get that into my brain. What does that mean? It means Jesus is our forgiveness now. Jesus is our empowering grace now. How many know grace is a person? Jesus is our healing now, our deliverance now, our salvation now, and our life now. And that is such a short list. That is such a short list. So as we wrap this up this morning, who is Jesus for you right here, right now? Just look at that list. Is there a word in there that jumps off the page to you? Need forgiveness? He is your forgiveness right here, right now. Grace right here, right now. Say, oh, I need deliverance. You don't need some kind of 14-step program to get delivered. Your deliverance is not a 14-step program. It's a person named Jesus. He's your deliverer, not some kind of formula. We don't have a formula now. We have a Father. He loves you. He's your life right now, right here. Right now. Let's stand together. So I think I'll have Pastor Quincy be my eyes this morning if you'd stand with me. If you would bow your head and close your eyes this morning as we wrap up today. I don't want you to leave without giving you the opportunity to say that yes. To say that yes to his yes. He's already said yes to you. You can't make him say yes. You're not that powerful. You know what that also means? You're not powerful enough to make him say no. You're not that powerful. He is. So he's included you, but you could say yes or no to that inclusion today. He loves you so much that love forever will give you a choice. Forever love gives you a choice. If it didn't give you a choice, it wouldn't be love. So forever love gives you a choice. You can either keep running from him, and you can experience hell on earth, and potentially hell for eternity. But why would you? When you can know the resurrection and the life today, the one who loves you, the one who included you. So if you, this morning, need to say your yes to him for the first time, like I did when I was 6, or maybe you have said yes to him in the past, but like the prodigal son, you wandered away, and here you showed up this morning because he was calling you and drawing you and pulling you to say yes to him afresh and anew today. If you need to do that today, would you, with no one looking, would you raise your hand real high? Just myself and Pastor Quincy looking right now. Raise your hand real high if that's you and you want to surrender your life to him today. Anyone need to do that this morning for the first time? Or, yeah, there's one. Anyone else? Raise your hand real high and keep it up. Another one. Raise your hand real high, keep it up. Another hand. Awesome. Anyone else? Raise your hand real high if that's you. Keep it up until Pastor Quincy sees you. We don't want to miss it. Anyone else? Another. One over there, two over there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to pray a prayer this morning. I'm going to invite everyone here to thank you, Pastor Quincy. I'm going to invite everyone here to repeat this prayer after me this morning. Again, it's not about some magic words. Jesus did the work. So Romans 10 says that now we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead. And we step into the experience of that salvation. It's a beautiful mystery. And this morning I want to invite you to pray this prayer of saying yes to his yes to you. Just say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, thank you that you came. I declare that I believe. You came. You died. You rose again. You ascended to the Father. You are seated in heavenly places. Not just for me, but as me. I am located in you. I find myself in you. You found me. You saved me. You have delivered me. You have set me free. And I give you all the praise. In Jesus' name. Come on, shout to him because he's that good, he's that worthy, he's that awesome. Yeah. Woo! Tell somebody he's preaching a big Jesus. Yeah, he's a big Jesus and he loves you. If you need prayer this morning for anything, our prayer teams are going to be up front in the midst of all of this beautiful mess. I love this. They're going to be up front ready to pray for you today. Otherwise, I pray you have an amazing Resurrection Sunday. Go get your gateware. Is that what it's called? Your swag. Go get your swag. God bless you guys. Have an amazing week. Go out and give them. Yeah.